You're listening to the Overdrive Podcast, brought to you by themortgagewarrior.com. Use home equity to reduce stress today. Call Steve at themortgagewarrior.com. It could save you thousands.
It's time to know your lane.
It was engine failure, and he, like, rammed it onto the fairway.
Can you imagine on a $30 putt, and Harrison Ford just rushes his plane into the bunker?
This is Overdrive with Hayes, Noodles, and the O-Dog on TSN 1050.
We should do a weekly Harrison Ford bird update.
I couldn't stop watching it last night. I went home.
I don't know why I've been obsessed with it. And now I'm looking back over his career. Like, he's a star. Like,
he's an A-list celebrity.
Like, one of the best of all time.
Mm-hmm.
Because he doesn't really get into the soup. Like, he doesn't really get in trouble. Other than plane issues.
Yeah, the plane issues.
But, like, he's not one of those he's not Mel Gibson. Where Gibson's, I think, been caught with his remarks and racism.
Yeah, Mel's had some problems. Mel had some voicemails that got leaked that didn't go over very well.
I'll tell you what, there's some people coming up with some clever lasagna company names.
Really? I haven't.
What about Good One Randy? Good One.
Good One Randy. Good One.
What about the Flat Noodle?
Ooh.
The Flat Noodle.
Mm-hmm.
How about Dougie's Pea Soup and Lasagna Company?
I could get behind that.
Veteran Move Lasagna? Lasagna Guy?
That one could run.
You know who I saw today? Motorcycle Guy.
Really?
And we should point out, today was beautiful outside.
You know what? We've been bitching about how bad the weather is. Why can't we give a little love to the weather right now?
It was the nice... This came out of nowhere. I mean, it's been warmer than usual.
Keep on littering, people. Keep it up.
How great was this?
What's he talking about?
He's talking about global warming and...
Throw your garbage out of your car on the highway. Who cares? Let's just keep this 20-degree weather coming.
In the middle of winter?
But Motorcycle Guy today.
Really?
I was surprised by that. Because those guys, you know, they chomp at the bit all winter. They can't wait to get on that hog.
Right.
But generally, they bring it out a bit too early when it's still icy a little bit or it's still windy, still cold.
Right.
And I guess you see a lot of different accidents. I was talking to a nurse recently who said, like, first somewhat nice day of the year, there's so many guys on the bikes that get out there.
I had a Harley Davidson, man.
That
I had a girl on the back of it one night with me. I was in Muskoka. And I ran over a giant turtle, and it scared that I'm never again. I
ran over a turtle?
Well, I was like, if I swerve, I'm done. Toast.
Right. You can't swerve on those.
So I ran over the turtle, and it scared the hell out of me, and the turtle made me get rid of the bike.
Well, why is a turtle in the middle of the road?
Well, dude, it was crossing the road. Turtles do that.
Yeah, turtles up in Muskoka.
But this thing was like a giant turtle.
Oh, there's turtles up there that are...
I think they're called tortoises.
So right. In Muskoka, there's tortoises.
Yes. Like over 100 years old. Those things, and they're monsters.
And they'll bite your nuts right off of your body.
They're mean?
Oh, yeah.
That's why I admit, I'm as soft as butter when it comes to a lot of different things in life.
I don't like turtles, man.
I don't swim in lakes because of stuff like that.
I've never been in a body of ocean ever in my life, and I've been to every ocean.
Right.
I just have never gone in.
No.
I sit at the edge.
I've said this many times on the record. I am a pool guy, and man, can I put in a shift on a pool. Natural body water, I have no interest ever because of stuff like that. I'm so paranoid. It's so neurotic. It's a terrible mentality to have.
No, I'm 41 years old. When I go water skiing in Muskoka and I fall down, I think the Loch Ness Monster is going to bite my legs right off my body.
I freak out.
I'm like, get back here with the rope and get me up.
Me too, man.
Get me up.
I hate it.
Yeah.
If I really touch seaweed or anything in the bottom,
it's so soft and it's just the truth, man. Because of that, like my father-in-law's got a cottage up in Muskoka, and I saw a turtle that was humming around the dock one day, and this thing was bigger than that lasagna I brought in. It was huge, and at that point, I said, "I'm done.
You're out.
I'm not walking around here. I'm not sticking my feet over the edge. Nothing."
I didn't even know. Like, why would turtles all of a sudden just be hanging around Muskoka?
Well, I mean, they're wildlife.
I don't know.
That's the way it works.
So there's raccoons and turtles in this area.
You get bears up there. You get everything. You go far enough north, you can find everything.
Well, the nice weather.
Yes.
Is it a good time to do the fitness update?
If we have one.
Let's hit it if we
a
got it.
A myth began to grow about my speed.
I'm too old to waste my time trying to train a no-good loser like you. You bum!
I need a miracle.
Run, Forrest, run!
Get set.
From couching to 10K.
Anything done?
I got nothing, man.
I ate lasagna.
That's what I did. I put on weight. That's my day. That was my training.
Well, how can you have an update?
It's not very good.
I'm the only guy who did anything of physical activity today.
But you do that every single day. This is a part of your routine.
Yesterday, I got trapped in an airport for 8 hours.
You're an athletic guy. You're in good shape.
I wouldn't say good shape.
Oh, this Sean Levine is disgusting. He just tweeted us a picture.
Of him what?
Like he's licking. Look at
this guy.
Look at that pig.
Dude, that's my spatula.
He's licking your spatula.
Okay, well, that thing's going in the dumpster.
It's going in the garbage right now.
That's great. The guy is giving an orgasm to the spatula, and I'm supposed to bring that thing home.
Yeah, there's not a chance. You throw it right in the garbage.
Okay. Well, that's good to know. I'm glad, actually, he showed me that.
Throw the dish in the garbage, too, all of it.
I don't think any of it's coming home.
No.
No dice.
He can have it.
The Raptors have acquired P.J. Tucker, so we're hoping to catch up with someone from the organization, but at the very least, our main man, Jack Armstrong, will check in about 25 minutes, get his thoughts on the trade. Didn't give up a lot. Jaren Sullinger really wasn't a part of the puzzle here anyway.
He liked the lasagna, too.
Yeah, he...
I watched that open gym show, and I was like, that's got to be an assistant coach or something.
Well,
he's
was
beefy dude.
Out for a long time. He had a surgery, I think. I think he was out for like 3 or 4 months to start the year.
Dude, I used to be a professional athlete. I don't care how long you're out. You're not supposed to look like that.
I'll give you that. And now he's in Phoenix. That's why he's not here anymore. And
he won't be anywhere anymore looking like that.
He's playing for his career. Like, he's a free agent at the end of the year.
Made himself out of the league.
He may have. So P.J. Tucker's here. Sullinger and two future second rounders going the other way. Good depth piece on the wing. Actually, originally a pick of the Raptors back in 2006, the Bargnani year. And he's back with the Raps, and add that to the Ibaka acquisition from last week, and the Raptors are starting to move and shake here a little bit. Let's see if they can actually start playing better, because the All-Star break does not make people forget how poorly they played for about a month and a half leading up to the All-Star break. So Jack will check in later in the hour. Leafs-Rangers tonight on TSN 1050. Puck drop at 7:30, pregame at 7. And the Rangers were in town a few weeks ago, and they kind of beat up on the Leafs a little bit. But the Leafs were at the Garden coming out of their bye week, and they kind of beat up on the Rangers. So they're 1-1 at this point going into this game. Rangers are a good team, veteran team, quality coaching, quality goalie. They're an elite team in the East. That's what they are.
If you don't watch your neutral zone against them, which the Leafs have had a little bit of trouble in the past, they'll kill you. They're a transition team. They got speed. They got a lot of guys. Jamie, you've watched them a lot. They fly down the wing. They stop up. They hit guys going to the net.
Yeah.
They make great east-west passes inside the blue line, and they create a lot of offense. So if they want to be sleeping against these guys, they'll make you look stupid.
Let's bring in Ray. And Ray Ferraro on Overdrive is brought to you by Timeshare Exit Team. Ray, I classified the Rangers as kind of that last team, maybe right there with Columbus, that I would include in this elite group of the top six or seven teams in the league. How would you define them?
See, I think those guys are a step below Washington and Pittsburgh. So I have, like, Washington and Pittsburgh, and then the group that I think you probably have in there, you know, like Chicago or Columbus and the Rangers. That whole bloody division is so good. But I don't think – do you have the Islanders there?
No chance.
No, but no. I mean, like, the Rangers aren't the same as Pittsburgh. To me.
No. I have two teams on an island by themselves. That's Washington and Pittsburgh.
Right.
And then I would have Minnesota, Chicago, San Jose, the Rangers. Maybe, and I think probably Columbus. I think you got to give it to Columbus based on the way they played. That's probably that second tier. And then you're talking everyone else. And if you'll notice, I didn't include the Habs, because the Habs have played themselves right out of that tier.
Oh, the Habs have played themselves into a dogfight.
Right.
I think the Rangers could be dangerous. You know, they're they're a team that can really go, like O was talking about, man. They can really get moving. You know, is Lundqvist going to recapture or be able to dial back the clock a little bit? I mean, that's imperative for them. I think their defense is a little better than it was. Holden and Shea have been two nice additions for them. They're both mobile. They can skate with the puck because the Rangers were starting to get stuck in the mud back there with Staal and Girardi in particular. They don't, you know, they're not the most mobile of guys. But so I think they're good. They're a good team, but they can, you know, I mean, do you trust Zibanejad as your number two center? You know, I don't know. He can be good. He can be not so good, too.
Where are you at with Mitch Marner, Ray? Do you think it's like kind of the Morgan Rielly injury where they win a game, he'll sit another one, they win a game, he'll sit another one? Or we were talking about him possibly being taken out of the Calder Trophy. Do you really think he, with these two guys, Matthews and Laine, like, was he really in it? He'd have to blow them away in the points department, wouldn't he?
Oh, I think he was going to be, and still could be, a finalist.
Yeah.
But I don't see any way that this is anything other than a two-horse race.
Yeah.
I don't see how anyone else could possibly get enough votes to overtake what these guys do. It's not like what they do is, is easily transferable. I mean, they got 30 and 28 goals. Like, I think that trumps almost anything that anybody else does. As far as his injury, I guess he's probably in a, you know, Babcock likes to say this a lot, and sometimes what he says is just so bang on. He's like, you know, day to day means 10 days. And that's what they said with Marner, and he's pretty much going to be that. You know, by the time he gets back for Saturday, if that's indeed when he's going to get the green light, I mean, he's right in that time frame. And of course, they get, you know, the best serve to be cautious with him than not, for sure.
Well, especially considering what they have coming up. They got the Habs on Saturday night, then they go out west and they've got three games in California against three big heavy teams, as we know, and he's just getting started. You know, he's just starting his career, and
right.
If it's something that you feel needs a couple more days, well, the team's been able to survive for the most part without him. They've won two of the three games, and listen, it's not going to be all about Marner. Even if he was in the lineup tonight, I think what has happened here, what has shifted, is the focus is back on Freddie Anderson, and the focus has been, for the majority of the year, on the defensive play as a whole. And can they find a way to win a game 2-1 if they have to?
Well, 2-1 seems to me to be an impossibility. You know, like, they may have to be the type of team that is going to have to outscore their defense all the time. Until they can get it better, and of course that's going to take time, I don't see them winning a bunch of low-scoring games. Heck, I don't see them winning any low-scoring games. Can you guys see scenarios where they start winning games 3-1?
Well, Ray,
how's that going to happen?
Yeah, Ray, we were talking about that last night, or yesterday, mm-hmm. show. We just said that I don't know if they're capable of doing that because they like to let the engine rev up and go offensively. But when, and Brian made a decent point too, said that when the league has gotten tougher, they haven't had problems scoring where we thought that was going to fall off. It's just, how are you going to defend, or how are you going to try and win a 3-2 game in the playoffs? But that's just not the way they play.
Well, then, so they get stuck into this thing of you've got to draw the other team into your style of game.
Right.
One of the things it's been really impressive, and they've been able to do is they score first a crazy amount of time, and so by doing that, then teams have to try and, you know, get themselves back in the game. If they start giving up the first goal and getting into a place where teams can lock down the game, I think that's a real problem for them because it's just not the game that they're right now that they're built to play. And so a lot of the help can go, as you mentioned, right back to the goalie. And so, you know, he's had one pocket of about 2 months where he was outstanding, and his save percentage went through the roof. I think he was like, you know, almost close to .940 for 2 months. And on either side of it, it's not been .940, you know, kindly speaking. It's been, you know, it was .856 in the first month, and you know, and he's right around .900 right now for the last little bit. And they just need them to be much, much better than that.
Well, it does make you wonder, though, of these bubble teams, which one is going to have that goalie that does what Hammond did 2 years ago for Ottawa, what the Philly goalies found a way to muster up last year.
Right.
Because one of them is going to get in because a goalie stands on his head. And I don't know who that is. Is it Thomas Greiss? Is it
Neuwirth.
Anderson? Is
Neuwirth.
It Neuwirth? Is it, I don't know. Is it Rask gets hot again and you just can't beat him and right. Boston gets in?
I see who Dobin's playing tonight.
Which is strange. Well, I guess they played last night.
I know, but this is...
Yeah, but they also, I mean, they... I don't know what Tuukka Rask weighs, but they got to be careful before he weighs 107 pounds. I mean, they just run the wheels off him. This has been about 4 years in a row, and I found it interesting that even though Hudobin's playing, that you know, there's a lot of chatter around Boston might be one of those teams looking for another guy. Like, they, right. they got to find one. And so I'll be interested, because if they're not going to play Hudobin, they got to find somebody else, because you're... You can't have all your eggs just in one basket. I think Edmonton's in the same boat. Like, do they trust Boisson enough to let him play half a dozen games or five games between now and the end of the year? And if they don't, then do you sacrifice a draft pick in case Cam Talbot gets hurt or gets sick or hits a rough patch?
Yeah, I think they need an upgrade there. There's not a lot of confidence.
Less than a week to figure it out.
I know, and I guarantee you they're pounding the pavement, but there's not a lot of confidence in Brossoit from what I've seen.
I don't even like his name.
Laurent Brossoit? He's a good young goalie.
I know, but you know what? Sometimes you look at the name, you're like, nope.
That's kind of analysis you'll get on Trade Center.
Yeah, exactly.
That's you got 8 hours for that sort of stuff.
Yeah, no question.
Hey, Ray. Can I ask him
something?
Yeah,
go ahead.
We were thinking about starting a lasagna company. Do you got any clever names for our lasagna company?
No, but I don't. Let me think of that. But, Hayes, did you really bake that lasagna?
I have pictures.
It's the best lasagna you've ever eaten in your life.
Well,
I don't care how Italian you are.
I'm like, okay, you bought it.
I'm telling you, right?
You don't have a family member that can make a better lasagna than this.
Okay, wait a minute.
Dude, I'm telling you.
Ray,
it was outstanding.
Ferraro. We've made lasagna before.
Have you seen us?
Yeah, I'm.
We know.
I'm married to Appolito, and she could start a house fire with the best of them. So I don't know. That's what concerns me.
Mm-hmm.
So I what shocked me was that picture didn't have a fork in it.
Oh, it did soon after. Believe me, it didn't take long for the fork to come out.
So you're 41, Jagr's 45. Like, you know,
it's depressing that he's still playing hockey, and I retired 10 years ago.
And effective. Like, I'm watching that game
last
night. I'm like, he looks pretty good. Like,
I thought he only had 23 minutes last night. Did I see that right?
I don't know if he hit that marker. It wouldn't surprise me. It felt like he was on the ice all game.
Yeah, he was good.
He did have a couple plays, though, where he mishandled the puck, and I'm like, that's not like Jerry Jagr.
Well, he had the breakaway, essentially. Like, it was a short breakaway. It wasn't from the blue
line. Yeah, late in the game, he fiddled it around there and dumped it in the corner.
Yeah, exactly. But, you know, that was a big night for the Leafs. I mean, that's why I think a lot of people in Toronto were watching that game saying, thank you, Chris Russell. Make sure the Panthers lose in regulation. Boston lost, Philly lost, and now you can make up for it tonight with the Rangers in town. And Jimmy Vesey will be playing tonight. And it would have been interesting to look back on how this all would have played out if somehow he came to Toronto. And you know the Leafs were in with five or six other teams kicking tires on him.
Right.
If they signed him, who wouldn't be here? Because VC would have been playing, and it's not, he's having an okay year, but it's not like he's lighting the league on fire. He's got 14 goals, 23 points.
Yeah,
Brown.
You think Connor Brown's the odd man out?
Yeah. Or no, Soshnikov.
Right. Let alone Levo. Like, Levo wouldn't be playing tonight, making an impact the way that he has recently.
Yeah, it makes you wonder what's going to happen when everybody's healthy.
Lots of players and kind of lots of guys in the same boat too, right? Like good players.
Yes, that's the key though, Brian, isn't it? That there's a lot of guys that are kind of the, you know, fit the same jersey.
Yeah.
And so I don't know. I mean, it would be hard to take Levo out right now. I mean, gee, he's been outstanding.
Right.
I would expect he plays.
Couldn't he play on the fourth line if they wanted him there?
All day.
Yes, for sure.
You know, the guy that looks like he's in trouble to me is Soshnikov.
I agree with you. I think if you're talking long term, you should consider Matt Martin to be a guy who isn't on solid ground all the time. But they just gave him 4 years, and they like what he brings.
He's not coming out.
He's not coming out. So I would think Soshnikov is probably the guy who's like, okay, when is Marner back, and then when do I have the conversation with the coach to find out where I stand here? There was a
Sometimes it's better not to have that conversation. You might not like the answer.
That's true. Dodge him like the plague if you can. There was a trade earlier today, Ron Hainsey going from Carolina to Pittsburgh. He has not played a playoff game throughout his career. He's got over 800 games in the league, and he's never played a playoff game, which is a remarkable number. But he will be playing this year, presuming that he's in the lineup once he gets to Pittsburgh. But the price has a lot of people talking. I mean, they got a second rounder for him, and Hainsey's he's a good player, fine player. It's a depth
guy.
Right? He's probably a third pairing guy, but are you surprised at all that Pittsburgh gave up a second round pick for him?
Not necessarily, because I don't I don't have the list in front of me about who they would have been comparing him against, but they needed to get a defenseman because Mata's hurt, Schultz is out with a concussion, although he's starting to skate, and then they released that Trevor Daly's out 4 to 6 weeks with a knee surgery. So they were going to get a defenseman. The price is high, but I don't think there's a lot of guys that Jim Rutherford would have been as comfortable with. He knew him, of course, from Carolina. So there was, some idea of what he's going to be able to most likely bring to the Penguins. And the Penguins are also in just what we talked about earlier. They're in that win-now window.
Yes.
Other teams aren't going to pay a second-round pick for a rental defenseman because they're not in the same place. They're not going to win. They're not going to start burping up second round picks all of a sudden. And if they do, I think they're crazy. But it's an expensive price to pay. But if you're in that time frame, you pay that price for the chance to win again.
You think they got a good chance of repeating, Ray? We haven't had. I don't know when the last time a repeat was, but
oh man, when was it?
I don't know.
I think it was Jersey.
No. They never repeated.
They didn't repeat?
No.
Okay, then Detroit?
Detroit, maybe.
Yeah, it was Detroit.
You know what? I think Pittsburgh can win. I mean, so much went well for them last year. I guess it's the same for anybody. When they win, everything goes well for them. They got, Brian Rust and Connor Sheary and were scoring big goals for him. Nick Bonino had an amazing playoff. Matt Cullen was outstanding. Like, do all those things happen again? Does Matt Murray, is he as airtight as he was last year? Because I thought there were times when you go, man, there's a little bit of room around Matt Murray. But then he would lock it down and they would win and it wouldn't matter. If I'm picking anybody, though, maybe I'm dumb to pick them again, but I just don't see a team that's better than Washington. I really don't.
No, but I think I said the same thing going into the playoffs a year ago. And
hell, I picked San Jose 3 years in a row. It doesn't matter what I pick.
Right. And they finally got there, but they couldn't close.
Pick them last year, though.
I was on the Anaheim train for a few years, and then I went to San Jose. Everyone I've chosen has gotten the kiss of death, and I unfortunately have chosen Washington this year. I think they are the best team in the NHL. But I there's something that just scares me. It's the lack of success, I guess, in the playoffs. Or, everyone points to, can Ovi do it?
It's not about Ovi.
It's about
Kuznetsov.
Exactly. Backstrom.
Yeah. Holtby. Burakovsky. Those guys were junk last year.
And they need to be better.
Well, their goals per game in the playoffs are down almost a goal over the last couple of years. They win in the regular season, and one of the things that you love about their team is they got balance and they can score from several spots. Then they get to the playoffs and they flatten out. It's not their goaltending. It's not their defense that's let them down. It's been their forwards. And this year you look at them and you go, well, they should have enough. They got enough guys. They'll just have to perform.
Right.
How about this name for the lasagna company? Top Cheese Lasagna.
Ooh. That's pretty good.
It's not bad.
Some other guy sent one saying you should call it Noodle Dog. That's not a good one.
The one that's Brandy Love It Thanks.
Yeah.
That one is very good.
What was that one?
Brandy Love It Thanks.
Someone else sent a text in, Between the Sheets Lasagna Company.
Ooh.
A sheet of lasagna.
That's pretty good.
Not bad.
Now, the problem is if you go with this, then you got to pay somebody copyright.
Right. We're not following through on this.
Class in the street.
It's just another thing.
Could you imagine Hayes has to retire just to bake lasagna?
Imagine that, eh? I just franchise. I become a
billionaire. Imagine going into Costco and seeing him he just blew up and he was just setting up samples of lasagna for people
with
a chef hat on.
You'd be 400 pounds because you would be trying your
own lasagna.
I
would just look the other way and just say, I can't do it, man.
You'd have to.
If you were just a tub of garbage selling lasagna to people, I would just say, sorry, buddy.
You'd have to.
You used to know that guy.
You'd have to.
You'd be like, I think I know that guy.
He looks familiar.
Looks familiar.
Yeah. No, I wouldn't blame you. Anyway,
well, I hope to get a slab of this stuff one of these days. Well,
hey, next time you don't ever come in studio, but if you ever do, we'll fire one up.
Well, what about for Trade Center?
I can't bring it back a week later.
I think you could if you had.
Why
to.
Not?
I guess I could, but
boy, was that
make
good.
10 of them for everybody down there.
Well, I'm not making them for everybody.
10
here.
Of them.
I'll make
it. It wouldn't make it past the lobby here. We saw Sean Levine go to work on one.
Yeah. I'll think about it,
the
Ray.
The vultures, Ray, you should have seen. The minute that Hayes turned his back and said, yeah, go ahead, guys, it was like he threw $5,000 cash in the middle of the floor and said, it's yours. There was a dog pile for it.
And they didn't even know if it was any good at this time. It was just free food.
They exactly. could sense.
They knew it.
They knew.
They had a good vibe. Anyway. All right, buddy. I'll look into it for you.
I'd appreciate that. That would be outstanding.
All right, man. We'll do it again tomorrow, 5 p.m.
Talk to you then. Later.
Ray Ferraro on Overdrive is brought to you by Timeshare Exit Team. They'll get you out of your timeshare guaranteed or give you a complete refund with offices in Toronto or visit timeshareexitteam.ca. Did you see that the manager of the Leicester City EPL team got fired today? 298 days after they had that miracle win of the Premiership.
How do you dust him after that?
Like, they've obviously fallen back into the pack, and they're not having a great year. But you were 5,000-1 to win the league. 5,000-1.
You know what it is? It's expectations. They expected him to go back, and the guy, everyone woke up and said, well, we're not that good of a team.
Exactly.
That would be like Jared Bednar getting the Avs into the playoffs and winning the Cup this year, and then canning him next year. Like, are you joking me?
I mean, they fire people. I find it's a different world over there in the UK. They fire people like it's a bodily function. Like, they really don't put much thought into it. The crowd starts turning, and the owner's like, forget it. I'm getting rid of this guy. The chants start up. Like, remember the Fire Wilson chants?
Yeah.
That's very rare in North America. That happens every, like, two or three games in certain spots over in the UK. But you have to understand who you are. Like, now you've almost soiled what you did a year ago. Like, that memory will never leave you. If you're a Leicester City fan, that would have been the most incredible run in history. And it may have been the greatest upset of my lifetime in terms of pro sports. But less than 300 days later, the manager who pulled the strings on all of those wins and that title, you fire.
Right.
That just is crazy. Well, I can't imagine that would happen over here. I just can't imagine that. Like, Leicester City, again, it would be like the Leafs winning a cup, and then next March they're hovering around a playoff spot, and you fire the coach.
Yeah.
Never in a million years would that happen.
It's happened in Russia, I want to say. Like, Dave King, I think it happened. Dave King took them to the finals, and I think they won 56 games in a row. If you read his book, King of Russia, I played in Magnitogorsk. The next year, like, they started, like, 5-5 or something. He got dusted.
See you later.
Like, but that's it. There's
it's
so many Russian stories there where Wayne Fleming, who's passed away, one of my old coaches, got fired after the second period and then rehired after the game. Like, that's how unpredictable things can be.
That's how you run a business.
Exactly.
That's how you're going to make money. That's how I would run my lasagna shop. Fire people, rehire them for more money. I'd be bankrupt so fast.
We'd
your
have
head
to
would
find
spin.
Roles. Like, what would Owe and my role be in your company?
It's a good question. I wouldn't pay you, but it's a good question.
Like Mullen and Steph.
Yeah, I would want Steph.
I'd be in sales.
Well, she's a millennial. She'd fall asleep on the couch. And
yeah, and she doesn't even like the product. I can't have someone that doesn't like the product.
That's true.
Jack Armstrong going to join us. The Raptors made a deal today. P.J. Tucker back with the Raps. How is this going to factor into the stretch run? We'll catch up with Jack. We'll break down the trade next. All right, Bob McKenzie in studio around 6:20. We'll get to the Maple Leaf lineup player of the day later in the afternoon. Leafs Rangers on TSN 1050 tonight. NBA resumes post-All-Star break this evening, but the Raptors are off until tomorrow. Boston in town.
Back
big three nights at the ACC. Leafs-Rangers, Raps-Celts, Leafs-Habs. That is how you party. And the Raptors made another move today. Last week, obviously, they acquired Serge Ibaka. Big news. Big acquisition. He's going to step in. He'll start tomorrow night. You have to believe that. But they also acquired P.J. Tucker earlier today. More than likely a depth guy, but veteran. Actually was drafted by the Raps back in 06.
So regardless of the standings, I want to know from you and our next guest, on paper, where should they stack up in the East?
Good call.
All right, let's bring in our main man, Jack Armstrong. Jack, go ahead. You can answer that question. How do these deals affect the way the East stacks up, considering where the Raptors sit?
Well, more importantly, considering that the Celtics decided not to do anything, and they haven't had Avery Bradley in a while, but he'll be back. But they, you know, obviously, they're a very, very good club. Washington and Atlanta made moves that, in my mind, are very sensible for them to improve their team for the playoff push. But I really like what Toronto did. I mean, you had Serge Ibaka. He was the best. You know, obviously, Paul Millsap's probably a little better player, but he was not available. So based upon who was available, they end up getting the best power forward available on the market, who, in my opinion, is a very good player. And then you go get a guy in P.J. Tucker, who I am a huge fan of, in terms of just what he's going to bring for them off the bench. He's as tough as nails. He will defend. He will rebound. He is a respectable perimeter player in terms of his offense. He can make threes. He's not a great three-point shooter, but he's a good three-point shooter. But he will do whatever it takes to win. So when you add two tough hombres to your team on a team that this year has been, quite frankly, soft, that really, really helps. And you add a legitimate starting power forward, and then you add a guy off the bench who is a tough guy and a good player. So now what you've done is you've improved your team. You've improved the makeup. You've improved a lot of things. And in my opinion, this team has every chance to do some really positive things down the stretch.
The way they were playing before the break, Jack, they don't really have that kind of grace period, do they? They kind of have to make this work and make it work right away, don't they?
I would agree, totally. Yeah, and you know, as you well know, it's probably going to take, you know, a week, 10 days, 14 days for it all to come together in terms of everybody kind of figuring each other out. But more importantly, in the, you know, they got 25 games. They played 57. They got 25 to play. In the next 25 games, they got to figure it out. They got to get themselves somehow, some way into the two or three seed so they avoid being in Cleveland's bracket till the East Finals. And, you know, you hope at that point, by then, they've got to figure it out. And the 10 guys that play, and obviously in the playoffs, you play eight guys, you load them up with minutes, and then the ninth and 10 guys are more situational. But by then, you have it all figured out. So, yeah, I mean, they got to hit the ground running as quickly as they possibly can. It might not be pretty here early in the first few games, but I think over 25 games, and more importantly, when it's time to start playing the real games on April 15th, 16th, whenever that is in the playoffs, I like this roster.
With Jack Armstrong, our Raptors analyst here on Overdrive, TSN 1050 and on the TSN Go app. Raps made a deal today acquiring P.J. Tucker for two future second-round picks and Jared Sullinger. And Sullinger, I mean, that's basically just his contract. He didn't fit in here. He wasn't going to play down the stretch or into the playoffs. And I think that's where the credit really has to go to Masai. He was aggressive. I think he had to be aggressive. They've been taking kicks at the can for 3 years now. They're a veteran-laden team for the most part in terms of the core. And it feels like the East is wide open or potentially wide open because even Cleveland's having a bit of a strange injury-riddled, drama-filled season. So they bring in two veteran guys in Ibaka and in Tucker, and they're really going to push for it this season. But what I think sticks out also for me, Jack, is they still have a first-round pick in this draft, and this is a very deep draft, and they didn't give up Poeltl, Powell, Wright, Siakam, Bebe. I mean, the kids in the first round are still a part of the program. That I think, is very impressive. I got to give it up to Masai.
Well, not only Masai, but Jeff Weltman, right, and their entire staff. Those guys have done a great job, and no doubt. And more importantly, the first-round pick they currently have
is the higher valued one than they, you know, they traded the other one to Orlando, but that's the lower valued pick. So they maintain the higher valued pick, which is so important. And they haven't, they still have all their number ones for the years to come. Obviously, second round picks can have some value. You see a Norman Powell that they got, the Gravis Vasquez Milwaukee trade, but ultimately, and they're bringing back a second round pick in PJ Tucker, who took a while to develop, but has become a good pro. But no doubt, the front office has done an excellent job. And in my opinion, this is my 19 years with the Raptors. Even though they've been in a lousy stretch where they have not played well, these two additions really put a great emphasis on where their weaknesses were. This team has been poor defensively. They've been soft, and they've been poor rebounding-wise. You add Serge Ibaka and P.J. Tucker, you get defense, you get toughness, and you get rebounding. And on top of that, both guys are capable in today's modern NBA to be able to guard out on the perimeter. And more importantly, when they're on the perimeter, they're able, if you leave them open, to make threes. So in my opinion, based upon my time, I think this roster is probably as good as good a roster as I've seen in Toronto. Probably as good, you know, maybe, you know, obviously Vince Carter 2001 was a Hall of Famer. 2000, they had Carter and McGrady, both Hall of Famers. But when you look at the 2001 roster, that was a loaded roster with a coach that was kind of beyond his shelf life, and Lenny Wilkins, who was a good man and an outstanding coach in his prime, but was beyond his shelf life. I think this group right now is as good a roster as the Raptors have ever had. I don't know, are they good enough to beat Cleveland? Well, guess what? You now have a matchup for Kevin Love in Ibaka or P.J. Tucker or Patrick Patterson. You now have a matchup for Channing Frye in one of those three. And, you know, P.J. Tucker will get in the grill as well as Damari Carroll of LeBron James. I mean, LeBron is still the greatest player on the planet, and it's going to be heavy, heavy, heavy lifting to beat them. But I think this team, the composition, the makeup, for a seven-game series against Boston, Cleveland, Atlanta, Washington, whoever, I'm not the least bit intimidated anymore.
It didn't turn out to be the craziest deadline we've seen in recent years. It had the potential to be based on two big names in the Eastern Conference that, by all accounts, were on the table and could have been had for the right price. That would be Jimmy Butler out of Chicago and Paul George out of Indiana. Neither guy ended up getting traded. They both ended up staying where they're currently at. Do you expect those conversations to continue into the offseason? Do you think there's a chance this offseason could be pretty crazy in terms of movement, and maybe that is when Paul George and Jimmy Butler get traded?
And I'll add to that, Carmelo Anthony.
And Anthony. I mean, you know, he stayed too,
You got three elite wing guys in the East that, quite frankly, could have tipped the balance of power if you're a Toronto fan. If Boston had done one of those deals or been able to do one of those deals, it could have been a really difficult road to hoe for Toronto. And it's still not going to be easy by any means. But I would definitely say that based upon, you know, if there's smoke, there's fire, I would imagine that Larry Bird is getting the sense that for a guy like Paul George, and they weren't able to get any deals done today to upgrade their roster. And they're sitting at six right now.
And they're a dangerous team in the playoffs. Don't sleep on them. I think that they might be in play. I think Chicago has to look long and hard at where they're at now after moving Taj Gibson and Doug McDermott. And what is Jimmy Butler's future there on July 1st? And there's no question that the Knicks would love to put Carmelo in play if the right price can be had. But I think for Toronto, I think they had to be proactive, and I think they were. And I think this is a roster that I think from a comfort level and from the strength of Dwayne Casey and his coaching staff, I think they should be right up their alley. I mean, this is a big opportunity for Dwayne and his staff to fix the defense, which has not been good, and they have not been as good as they're capable of being in terms of situational basketball, or really doing a good job of playing together as a unit at times. Again, these acquisitions really help them have the opportunity to get the thing righted. And there's probably a lot of pressure on them to get that done.
Hey, Jack, it's my birthday. Can I get a Bacardi call, possibly?
Bacardi!
Yes!
Happy birthday, by the way, 29th or 30th?
Unfortunately, I'm 41 today, buddy.
You got a lot of runway ahead of you, my man.
I agree.
A couple Bacardis tonight may have a different story, but we'll see what happens,
get
buddy.
Get that garbage out of here.
Enjoy yourself, Jack. Well,
don't be getting any of that garbage out of here tonight. It's a big night tonight for you. So happy birthday, Jake.
All right, man. Thank you for doing this,
all
Jack.
All the best, old dog. All right, guys.
There he is, Jack Armstrong, our Raptors analyst.
He's the best.
He really is the man.
He's a legend.
In more ways than one.
Yeah.
For sure.
Every which way possible. Bob McKenzie will join us in studio around 6:20. Leafs in action tonight. We'll get to our Maple Leaf lineup player of the day. This is Overdrive TSN 1050.
Bacardi!
Bob McKenzie, our TSN Hockey Insider, will join us at 6:20. Listen to Overdrive every weekday for the Maple Leaf lineup player of the day. On Friday, call with the names of all five players, and you can win a pair of lower bowl seats to see the Leafs take on Detroit March 7th down at the ACC. The theme this week...
Hang on a sec. Let me read the theme to see if I can even read it.
That bottom part right there.
The theme this week is players who were on the Leafs roster the last time the Leafs made the playoffs... The same season, the Red Wing. That's the dumbest thing I've ever read in my life.
Yeah, it's not.
I'm just going to throw out who the player is. All right, the player of the day is Rob Ramage.
Yes, today's player is Rob Ramage.
You want to give it a shot, Noodles?
Yeah. The theme.
Just
this
see
week,
if it even makes sense reading it.
You want me to start it?
Yeah.
No,
Overdrive?
No. Just the
bottom. Read the bottom.
The
part.
Theme this week is players who were on the Leafs roster the last time the Leafs made the playoffs. The same season the Red Wings didn't, which was 89-90. Today's player is Rob Ramage.
Nice. Not bad.
You were laughing reading it or hearing it because it sounded so dumb.
Well, it does. Now I know what
because
you guys
experienced
when I'm reading
it. It's the longest read ever, and it's okay. Follow me here. It's the last time.
I thought it was a good idea.
Yeah, it's not.
No, it's a tough one. But
this was a mail-it-in one.
Yeah. All you need to know is Rob Ramage is
today's player.
Maple Leaf lineup player of the day.
Yes.
Bob McKenzie at 6:20. Jameis Winston is in the news. We might get into what he got up to earlier today. And just the idea of young superstar athletes speaking to kids about life.
Yeah.
Does it ever really make sense?
Probably doesn't work out well.
We'll talk about that. And I don't know if you guys have seen the TTC video that's gone viral.
No, I've got to see this.
Where the guy was sitting in the seats and he had his feet up on another seat, but there were other seats around him. But a woman decided, based on social code, and I guess she's a social justice warrior, that that's not acceptable. So she went and sat on the guy's feet.
What a hero.
And then they started yelling at each other, and the guy was being an idiot too, and then he pushed her at one point. But basically, the crux of it is, who's in the right here? The guy who's got his feet up on public property on the TTC, or the woman who decides she's going to teach him a lesson
as
that he's
dumb
not allowed
as it
to
is
do
what
that.
The guy's doing? You got to just leave him alone, man.
Yeah,
why do you want to cause problems?
You
can't storm City Hall every day, okay?
Mm-hmm. I'm with you on that. I hate supporting the guy because he turns out to be an idiot when he watches
he's
the
a
video.
Douchebag.
He pushes her at one point. He calls her fat at one point. He's yelling and screaming like an idiot.
So somebody on a male on there should have dragged him outside and beat the hell out of him.
Right.
But then he would get charged and he would like
someone was videotaping the whole thing at the same time, naturally, because that's what happens. But
right, instead of stepping in, you videotape it.
Riding the TTC my whole life. Everyone does that from time to time. You put your feet up sometimes when there's a lot of seats. It's not something that maybe you're proud of, but it happens.
Right.
And if you're gonna go out of your way to prove a point and play hero, you're probably asking for trouble yourself.
And if someone's pissing you off, you get off the streetcar, you find a bar, and you have a
Bacardi.
There you go. Bob McKenzie in studio in the next hour. This is Overdrive TSN 1050.